Welcome to our second presentation on mutual funds. Now go back and make sure you understand the first one, right, and identify the issues that we covered, because today you're going to be really confused. That's what the industry set out to do, and they've succeeded fairly well, because we're going to discuss fees today. Yeah. I mean, people understand that they're being charged when they put money into a mutual fund. I think most people understand that. Every once in a while you get a representative who says, "Oh no, our services are free." Oof. But they just don't understand how. You are going to understand how, because you're the experts now, right? Yes, you are. You're the expert for your family. You're the expert for your friends and your coworkers. So let's get started on slide 20. Every mutual fund, and you might want to write these down as we go along. It's up to you. It's up to you, because we're going to refer back to them. Every mutual fund has operating expenses, annual operating expenses. Every investment has annual operating expenses. And there are three major categories: the management fees, the 12b1 fees, and the accounting fees. This last category, I have a little line between the first three and the fourth one, because this one is only for retirement and other tax-qualified accounts, medical savings accounts, health savings accounts, educational savings accounts, and the like. And that fee is $10 a year. Oh, I've seen it as high as 30. And that's paid to the trustee who holds on to your funds, because when you have a retirement account, a Roth IRA, a 529 plan for your kids or grandkids, you actually don't hold on to the money. The trustee does, and makes sure that you follow the rules that the IRS has set, and they get paid $10 a year for their efforts. So let's ignore that one, because these three are the important ones. The management fees, which are normally the largest, but not always, fee, and that's the yearly fee based on the percentage of the fund's asset value that is paid to the portfolio managers, the research analysts, the portfolio counselors, they are sometimes called. These are the people in the top hats who make the decisions about what stocks or bonds to buy. Yes, and they are paid very handsomely, and folks, if they do it right, it is a very expensive proposition, because companies are global, and you have to have a global research organization at your disposal to make good investment decisions. It's that simple, and it costs. Exactly. The 12B1, what a silly name. Where did they come up with this 12B1? Fee. Well, that's an annual fee to defray advertising, servicing, distribution costs of the fund. And it's typically up to 1% per year. And does Coca-Cola have to tell you how much they're spending on advertising and servicing and distributing the Coca-Cola every year? No. Does Nike? No. Do the banks and the life insurance companies have to tell you how much they're spending on advertising? No. But because of the Investment Company Act of 1940, you are required to be told through the prospectus that nobody reads, and now they don't even have them in print. They just ask you to click here to say that you have read the prospectus. They are in the prospectus to tell you how much they're paying on advertising. Interesting, right? They don't want to do that, so they make it look impossible to read. And the last one is accounting and other expenses. That's to pay for all the transactions and the lights and the rent and the janitors and all the other expenses that is entailed, the legal fees, all the other expenses that are entailed in running a mutual fund. Make sense? And you really should. You really should thumb through or scroll through prospectuses, and I have links to different ones on the website. Now, the next slide discusses trading costs. Trading costs are not disclosed in the annual prospectus. So how does an investor know how much the trading costs are? Well, you can ask the mutual fund. Or better or easier is to just look at the annual turnover. Because the more turnover, the more they're buying and selling, the more trading costs they're going to pay. This is a measure of how much trading a mutual fund does. It is measured in percentage of the amount a portfolio turns over each year. So if a mutual fund has 100% turnover, and some of them do, and some of them have twice that amount, that means they are buying and selling the stocks totally in 1 year. They have turned over the entire portfolio in 1 year. Yeah, that's not investing, folks, in my humble opinion. 200% means every 6 months they turn over. They sell, buy and sell all the stocks in their portfolio. A 50% turnover would take 2 years. You understand? A 20% turnover, 5 years. And so this gives you an idea of their trading costs. The higher the return over, the higher the trading costs are going to be. Plus, it also gives you an idea of how long they hold their investments. Now, we're going to discuss this later on when we get to stocks, but if you see a stock fund with a turnover rate of about 25%, maybe 30 or so, that means that company is holding it for 3, 4, 5 years. And we use that 3, 4, 5 year period for a reason. Now, some companies hold their mutual funds a whole lot longer. I mean, they hold their stocks. I'm sorry. Some mutual funds hold their stocks a whole lot longer. And some, as we said, have very high turnovers. And then you have to be careful because there are types of mutual funds which just lend themselves to high turnovers. It's not because they're badly managed. And I just made a judgment call. In my humble opinion, a mutual fund that is turning over their portfolio every 6 months, 200%, 188%, whatever, that's not good management. In my humble opinion, everybody is different, and everybody's entitled to my opinion. No, I'm teasing you. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I tend to look for mutual funds that have lower turnovers. It's not a deal breaker. But it is important to me. Oh, yes, if it's 200%, I'm not interested in those people because they're speculating. They're looking ahead 6 months. That's not investing. You're not owning the stock. You're renting it. Exactly. Slide number 22. Now, those first two slides described in expenses that every mutual fund has. This next slide is an expense that not all mutual funds have, and that's the sales charge. And it's not called a sales charge in the mutual fund industry. It's called a load, sales load. And it's a commission. And before 1970s or so, maybe 60s, I have to go look that up, but all mutual funds had commissions. There were no load funds. But then as competition came up, for your dollars, many mutual funds started offering no-load mutual funds where they were typically sold directly to the shareholders, bypass the brokers. Because that's how the brokers get paid. That's how the financial representatives, whatever you want to call them, financial planners, registered representative is the legal term, as we'll see when we get to Chapter 5. And there's an endless debate. There are some people who say you should never purchase a load fund. You should only buy no load funds. But what if you need the help? What if you need help choosing a fund? It gets tricky because some people say, no, you should educate yourself. And other people say, no, you don't understand. I need somebody I can trust. I don't have the time. I don't have the inclination. I don't have the patience. I don't want to be bamboozled by advertising and just buy something that I don't understand. So there are two sides to the story, and it's another one of those situations where everyone's entitled to your opinion. Everyone's entitled to my opinion. So let's take a look at the different types of load funds. Well, it used to be easy. There used to be only one type of load fund, and that was the front-end load. Now they are referred to as Class A. And folks, I am going to hold you to these. I want you to learn these. Why? Because you're going to be the expert. Now the front-end load funds are called Class A. Some companies call them Class 1. I forget who does that. But the commission is paid up front when you buy the shares. They normally, but not always, have lower annual operating expenses. But people got a little upset. I don't want to pay an upfront fee. So the brokers, you know, they have to be able to sell things. So they say, no problem. Look at these, the B shares, back-end load. So remember B, back-end. Some people call them Class 2. The commission is paid when the shares are redeemed. Well, what difference does that make? Relax, sit down. Most back-end loads have what is called a contingent deferred sales charge. What a great name, right? I love that word, contingent. It just sounds good when you say it. Say contingent, yeah. A CDSC. And that starts out at 5% for the first year, and then 4, 3, 2, 1, or start at 0% after 5 years or 6 years. Or it starts at 4% and goes down to 0% after 4 years. So you see? Yeah, we're going to hit you with a back-end load, but as long as you keep the money in for 4, 5, 6 years or so, there's no sales charge. You see how that works? Exactly. But what's the catch? There's always a catch, right? Normally, the back-end load pay higher annual operating expenses via the 12B1 fees until the CDSC, the Contingent Deferred Sales Charge, declines to zero. And eventually, in most situations, the Class B shares become Class A shares. And then after 6 years, 5 years, 8 years, you then get the lower annual operating expenses. Are you confused yet? Good! I mean, no. Yes, we don't want you to be confused. Yes, we do. The mutual fund industry wants you to be confused. That's why they've created this nightmare. But you are going to break through that. You're going to study it, and you're going to be the subject matter expert for your friends and family. You're going to be the guru. Slide number 24, because it gets worse. People said, I want the upfront fee. I want the back-end fee. And the brokers, they had to come up with a way to say, no problem! For you, we have the broker no-load funds. Well, they're not allowed to be called no-load funds anymore. The Securities and Exchange Commission slapped them with a little, slapped their wrists and said, you don't call these things no-load funds. They used to be called broker no-load funds. Some of the older brokers still refer to them. Usually referred to as Class C. They have no upfront fee, no back-end fee. Well, if you take the money out within a year, they're going to hit you with a 1% or so fee. But you're not going to do that. Mutual funds are long-term investments. But what's the catch, right? No upfront fee, no back-end fee. Many Class C shares have higher annual operating expenses in perpetuity. I love that word. You get to spit on your friends when you say perpetuity. Or for a very long time, 10 years. There are those 12B1 fees again. That's how they get you. Hence, they can wind up costing you more than the Class A or the Class B shares over time. And you see, the Securities and Exchange Commission got a little upset with brokers calling these no loads. They said to the brokers, look, all you're doing is taking that front-end load and amortizing it, which is a fancy word for saying you stretch it out over 10 years. So the Securities and Exchange Commission says you cannot call a mutual fund a no-load fund if the 12B1 fee is greater than 0.02%. This is getting so confusing. I know, relax. We're going to see it. We're going to see it in more detail. But as I said, some people, not too many anymore, it's been now about 5 or 7 years or so that this has been the case. So not so many people, but in the industry still call them that, but that's what they were called for many, many years. Slide number 25. So now we're going to take a look at no-load funds. And we're just going to take a look at two, because there are others, but The no-load funds that brokers will offer to you, because you don't want an upfront fee, you don't want a back-end fee, and you want low annual operating fees, are called advisor no-load funds, or sometimes called Class F for financial investment advisor, or I, Class I for investment advisor. And what these things are true no-load funds in that there's no upfront fee, there's no back-end fee, but the advisor holds them in what's often called a wrap account. Wrap, not R-A-P, but W-R-A-P. In that the management fee is taken directly out of the account by the brokerage firm. So on top of whatever the mutual fund is charging you through their annual operating expenses, the broker is adding an extra 1 or 2% on top of that to manage the account. We're not your brokers. Oh, no, 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 no. We're your wealth managers. You get the feeling that I'm not too excited about these things, folks. I don't think they're in the best interest of the client. Personally, that's my humble opinion, and everybody's got one, right? Everyone's entitled to your opinion. You can wind up as a client paying far more over the life of your investment by having a wrap account and having these Class F shares or I shares. I wouldn't buy them personally. So I wouldn't represent them if I were, I am a broker. When I am a broker, I would never, disclaimer, none of my clients have wrap accounts, okay, you understand? And if they wanted one, I would try to explain to them that they're going to wind up spending more than if they don't. But that's the world that we live in, folks. But don't worry, they send you a bottle of wine on your birthday and a Christmas gift and take you out to golfing and schmooze you. And oh, by the way, do you have at least $500,000 to invest? I'm not interested in you if you don't. I've heard brokers say that. I've heard clients tell me that brokers told them that. What a way to treat your client. Anyway, okay, last category are true no-load funds. Now, these mutual funds deal directly with the public. And, 800 numbers made it easy to contact people directly, and now we have the Infernal Net. The Securities and Exchange Commission says they may not have a 12B1 fee greater than 0.25%. What does that mean? Relax, we'll get to it in another slide. These are the darlings of the popular media. Bypass the middleman. Who needs a financial advisor? Just take our patented $2,995 course, 5 days, and whatever. But that does not mean that the overall fees are low, dear students. There are some no-load funds with fairly high fees. So you must be careful. You must compare the annual operating expenses along with the fact that there's no sales charge. And we will do that. We will take a look at that in the coming slides. Are you ready? Okay. Because here's the first one. This is a very old mutual fund by the name of Fundamental Investors. It's been around in one form or another. It's changed hands, changed management firms. It's been around since 1926, I think, or maybe a little earlier. No, I think 26. It was started by one of the people who started Merrill Lynch. And last time it changed hands was 1978, as I remember. And so it's got a long history. And it's been a fairly successful mutual fund. They have the Class A, B, C, and then they have actually F1 and F2. We're just looking at F2, which F2 is a little bit better than F1, so we'll take a look at F2. This mutual fund, when you put any money in, is going to charge you $5.75%. I'll get to the dollars in a second, excuse me. So 5.75%. Now notice it says maximum sales charge. We're going to deal with that in just a minute. So let's say you put in $50. They're going to take $2.88. Now where does that money go? Well, some of it goes to the mutual fund. Some of it, or the most of it, goes to the brokerage firm, the broker who represented you, who helped you choose this mutual fund. And then the brokerage firm shares the commission with the broker. So if you put in $100, that's $5.75. You know, use your calculator. Make sure I did it right. $1,000, $57.50. $10,000, $575. Are you following me? $100,000, $5,000. No, it doesn't work that way. See, once you hit $25,000, whether you put the money in or whether your account goes to $25,000, what happens is the percentage starts to go down. At we'll see the schedule much later on in this presentation, but it goes from 5 to 4.5 to 4 to 3.5, to 2.5 to 2 to 1 to 0. Once you hit $1,000,000, you don't pay a dime in sales charge. You think the industry is telling you something? Yeah, they want people with the bucks. That's where how they make their money, is by catering to the very, very wealthy. Okay, fine. So on top of that upfront sales charge, we're now going to pay annual operating expenses. And this is where it gets a little tricky. This 0.25% is the amount that is paid to the management company, the people in the top hats making the management decisions. And that stands for 25 cents for every $100 you have in the account. But remember, that's annual, folks. That's an annual expense. So every year they're going to charge you 25 cents for every $100 you have in the account. And then the distribution and service fees are 24 cents. Are you following what's going on here? Right. The other expenses, the lighting and the transactions and the accounting and all that other stuff, is 14 cents. So for every $100 you have in the account, in perpetuity, they're going to charge you 63 cents. Now, does that sound high? Huh? What do you think? Well, actually, by mutual fund standards, it's fairly low, especially for what we call an actively managed fund, and we'll discuss that much in detail in just a few minutes. But that's fairly low. If you went to your bank and said, how much are you charging me for every $100 I have in my account? What are they going to say? Huh? What? They don't even know themselves. They're going to refer you to a branch manager, who's then going to refer you to a regional manager, who's then probably going to refer you to the home office, because they don't even know. And you think they're going to want to tell you? No, they're not going to want to tell you. Maybe they would if you bugged them hard enough. Are life insurance companies going to tell you? No. And it turns out it's a whole lot more than 63 cents for every $100 you have in your account. I know you have a hard time believing that, but it is. So you go to your broker, you say, well, Ms. Broker, I don't want to pay that upfront fee. And what does she say? No problem! Because, you know, in the mutual fund and in the financial industry, there's always no problem. Sit down, booby. Let's talk. And so she says to you, for you, we have the Class B shares. No upfront fee and a maximum contingent deferred sales charge of 5%. And you say, but wait a minute, relax. That goes down over time. After 6 years, you don't pay any sales charge. You're going to leave the money in for a long time, right? This is a long-term investment, right? Oh, yes, Ms. Broker, we're in it for the long term. Then you don't have to worry about that contingent deferred sales charge because it goes down to zero over time. All right. Okay, I guess the Class B shares sound good for me. The Class B shares have the same management fees annually, 25 cents for every $100. But if you're, what? The 24 cents for the distribution fee in the Class A shares has become a dollar in the Class B shares. You see what they're doing? They're not stupid, folks. They're going to get their pound of flesh. They've just snuck the load, this cash mission, into the distribution fees for the B shares, the 12B1 fees. And that's why the Securities Exchange Commission says if it has a 12B1 fee greater than 25 cents, 0.25%, you can't call it a no-load fund. The other expenses are the same, so now we're looking at $1.39, twice as much as the A shares. And you pay that $1.39 for 8 years. After 8 years, the Class B shares, boop, go over to Class A. And that's how it works. And some companies, it only takes 4 years. And some companies, it takes 6 years. Every company's different, depending on how they want to charge their clients. So you go to your broker, you say, I don't want the upfront fee. And who knows? I might want to take my money out in a few years. So I don't want the Class B shares. And what does your broker say? No problem! You're figuring this out. You guys are quick. The Class C shares have no upfront fee. What's that one? Well, the 1% back-end fee is only if you take the money out within a year. And really, folks, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put money into a stock mutual fund. That's what this is, a stock mutual fund. Money market, that's different. We know that's short term, so money market is okay. But stock funds and bond funds, too, are long-term investments. So you're not going to put it in there for a year. And this is to discourage you from taking it out. So you're going to leave it in for more than a year. So, yeah, you're not going to have the upfront fee. You're not going to have the back-end fee. The management fee is the same at 0.25%, but there's that distribution and or service fee, the 12B1 fee of $1. And this one, on this share for this company, it stays there for 10 years. Uh-huh, exactly. So you see, you think you're starting to get the picture. Who's going to be the most expensive over the long term? The B and the C shares, as opposed to the A shares. And we're going to see that, but we're going to bear that out in a little while, but just hang with us. So now we're up to $1.43 every year, in perpetuity. So you go to your broker and you say, Ms. Broker, I don't want an upfront fee, I don't want a back-end fee, and I don't want to pay high annual operating expenses. And your broker says, you know what they're going to say. No problem. For you, just for you. We have the Class F shares, the financial investment advisor shares, the advisor shares. And we are not going to charge you an upfront fee. And we are not going to charge you a back-end fee. And look at that. 41 cents. Less than the Class A shares. And you say, ooh, where do I sign? And she says, oh, by the way, we're going to charge you an extra 1 or 2% of what? Excuse me, Ms. Broker, what did you say? We're going to charge you an extra 2% for as long as you own these funds. So now, in other words, you got an extra 1 here or a 2 in front of that 41 cents. $1.41 or $2.41. That's negotiable. You see? Yeah, you're going to wind up spending far more with the Class F shares. But you get a bottle of wine on your birthday and the broker takes you to the golf course and schmoozes with you. And I got a little story to tell you. I have a client who wanted to use one of these with the people at church. I mean, how do I compete with Jesus? I can't, right? Church. But I've often thought, you want to keep this is Caesar. This is not, God. Render unto Caesar, which is Caesar. Render unto God, which is God. This is Caesar. Okay. If you're dealing with mutual funds, that's Caesar. And so, She told me what they were going to do. They were going to put it in a wrap account and charge 2% on top of what they recommended for her. And I explained to her the situation. I mean, I said, this is what they're, you understand what they're doing? You understand? And when she went back to them and said, I spoke with somebody who said that 2% is actually kind of high. They said, no problem. We'll drop it to 1%. No questions asked. No negotiations. We'll drop it to 1%. And she stuck with them because they were from her church. Be careful, folks. Slide number 27. Here is yet another mutual fund that is similar to the first. Mostly large companies based in the United States. Stocks. It's a stock mutual fund. It's a fairly successful one. It's been around not that long, but it's been around a while, and it's from a company called Alliance. Now they refer to themselves as Alliance Bernstein, and now I think they changed their name to AB or some strange, AB Global or some strange thing. And their website's I hadn't seen the new website until just a couple days ago, and I went, what did you guys do? American Funds changed their website, and why do people have to, Yahoo used to be so easy to use. Anyway, I digress. My apologies. So here's the Alliance Large Cap Growth Fund. And the first thing we see is that their Class A share sales charge is lower. Not 5.75%, but 4.25%. Now that's interesting. What about the management fees? Well, 75 cents as opposed to 25 cents, 30 cents for the distribution fees, 24 cents. This one is charging us $1.24 in perpetuity. Right, twice as much as the previous one. But we paid 1.5% less to get into this fund. You see how they're competing for your dollars? Yeah. We're going to charge you less to get into the fund, but then what are we going to charge you in perpetuity? Exactly. And they have the B shares, no upfront fee, only 4% maximum deferred sales charge, and that goes down to 0% over 4 years. But there's the 75 cents for the management fee, and bingo, $1. Yeah. There's the distribution and or service fee, the 12B1 fee. 28 cents for other expenses, and this one is charging you $2.03. Now we're getting closer, I should say, to what banks and life insurance industries or life insurance companies are charging you. The Class C shares have the no upfront fee, but a 1% fee if you take the money out within a year, which you're not going to do. 75 cents, $1, 25 cents, this one's charging you $2, and I forget how long Alliance, I should go back and find out, but it's not as long as the previous one. I forget how long it was. I think it might have been 8 years. 2%. The Class F shares, no upfront fee, no back-end fee, 99 cents. So still, that's fair. I mean, in my humble opinion, that's, it's fairly high for a financial advisor's shares, plus the extra 1 or possibly 2%, so 2.99. If they charge you to 2%, that's 3%, folks, they're taking every year. Ouch. 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 Now we're up where the insurance industry is. Slide number 28. Here is another famous, now infamous, no-load that can no longer be called a no-load fund. Why are you trying to confuse me, Payano? Well, the problem is it's very confusing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but I want you to study it and work your way through it because it's really not that hard. It's just tedious and confusing, and it's almost as if they set out to confuse people. I apologize on behalf of the industry. Now, this mutual fund was incredibly famous for a reason that we'll discuss in a minute. But what happened is it kind of fell on hard times. And they did not have Class A, Class B, Class F. Now, what they had were the primary shares. And that was the Class C shares. The Class C shares used to be called their primary shares. And then they had the investment advisor shares, the FI, and the institutional. When they hit on hard times, they switched to the older, more traditional method, where they had Class A shares and Class C shares. They changed the primary shares to Class C shares. They never went with the Class B. So they have the 5.75% upfront fee, 68 cents for the management fee, 25 cents for the distribution fees, 10 cents, $1.03. But these are relatively new. These came around 2009 or so, 2010. For years, they only had the primary shares, and they changed the name from primary to Class C to be like many companies in the industry. No upfront fee, about 1%, not quite 1%, 0.95%, it's close to 1%, if you take the money out within a year, which you're not going to do. 68 cents, the management fees go to the people with the top hats who are making the buy and sell decisions. In this case, it's a stock mutual fund. 95 cents for the distribution and service fees, and 0.16 for other expenses, $1.79. You see, many brokers used to sell this mutual fund and call it a no-load broker, no-load fund. But when the Securities and Exchange Commission said, no, if this number, the 95 cents for the 12b1 fee, is greater than 25 cents, you can't call it a no-load fund. Now, I am cynical enough to just say, look, folks, you want us to follow the rule? No problem. Pick up that 95 cents, put it in the management fee, end of problem. We can still call it a no-load fund. They probably thought that through and said, no, you can't just pick that up and move it around. It doesn't work that way. So, I don't know. The financial investment advisor shares have no upfront fee, no back-end fee, and $1.07, which by many financial advisor shares is fairly high in my humble opinion. And the institutional shares have no upfront fee, no back-end fee, no 12b1 fee, 83 cents. What a deal. How do I get them? What do I have to be an institutionalized? We'll come back to that later. Okay, so you see the various types of mutual funds, because now these first three mutual funds are very similar in that they invest in the same type of stocks. Mostly big companies, mostly based in the United States. Now, let's look at something completely different. And this is the world's, I think it still is the world's largest mutual fund. It's the world's largest stock mutual fund. The world's largest mutual fund, I think, is still the bond fund from PIMCO. I got to go look that up. But anyway, slide 29. Here is the Vanguard 500 Index Fund. Whatever its size, it's what put Vanguard on the map. Vanguard, the company, is now the largest mutual fund company overall, and it was this fund that made their fame, but they have other good funds, don't get me wrong. This is not like the others. Remember that one of these things is not like the others? You folks who have Sesame Street kids, or if you grew up with Sesame Street. The first three mutual funds had active management. The people in the top hats went out, knocked on the doors of Ford and General Motors and Honda and BMW and made their decisions about which car company they should buy. They knocked on the doors of AT&T and Sprint and Verizon and T-Mobile, and they decided which mobile phone company they should buy. But this one doesn't do that. No, folks, this one simply buys and sells all the 500 stocks in the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. That's why it's called the 500 Index Fund. And there's a term for this, which we will go into more detail, called passive management. Part of your assignment is to look up the Thrift Savings Plan, and what you're going to find is that they use passive management also. So do look that up for your assignment, certainly. Index funds are usually true no-load mutual funds, in that there's no upfront fee, no back-end fee, no, they don't put a 12b1 fee that's very high on these things. And they usually, but careful, not always, have very low overall annual operating expenses. Hang on a minute. Let's concentrate on this guy first before we start lambasting others. So notice, no upfront fee, no back-end fee, 15 cents! 15 cents management fee, what a deal! Right? All the others were at least 25 cents. Well, wait a minute, think about that. They're not doing any management. All they are doing is looking at a list of 500 stocks, and if it's on the list, they buy it, and if it's not on the list, they don't buy it. You or I, assuming we could read, could run this fund. And so the fees had better be low. The distribution and service fees, folks, there's a $20 annual fee if your account is less than $10,000. And if you sign up for electronic delivery, then they waive that. W-A-I-V-E, not Ocean Wave. 0.02%, 2 cents for every $100 for your other expenses, and this fund is charging you 17 cents on every $100. That's a whole lot less than the others, but it better be less. Why? Because they are doing no research. It is a passively managed, passive management fund. More on this later. Slide number 30. Vanguard pioneered low-fee mutual funds and index funds. They weren't the only ones who did it, folks, but they are one of the pioneers, and they've been certainly the most successful, and was able to overtake Fidelity as the number one mutual fund company. For decades, Fidelity was the largest mutual fund company. It's based in Boston. Fidelity's based outside Philadelphia, by the way. In Boston, there are many mutual fund companies. That was the traditional home of the mutual fund industry. And you can imagine on the 23rd floor in the boardroom, the two words that came out of the Fidelity's mouth, the first one was, oh. Yeah, right. So what did they do? They responded by eliminating all sales loads. They created their own index funds, and they lowered their fees below Vanguard. All right, Vanguard, take that. Kind of like Limbo. How low can you go? So this company does the same thing. Notice they use the term Spartan, right? The Spartans were very sparse. They, you know, they didn't believe in luxury. So they were cheap, abstemious. You like that word, abstemious? That's a fancy word for cheap. And so no upfront fee, no back-end fee, 0.025 cents, 2.5 cents for every $100 to manage the fund. Well, of course, yeah, right. They're not doing anything. They could just read the list. There's a $12 setup fee. I'm not setup fee. A $12 12B1 fee, distribution and servicing, unless you enroll in automatic purchases, and then they waive, W-A-I-V-E, the distribution fee. The other expenses are 7 cents. So this one is 9.5 cents. You see? They're competing for your investment dollar. Exactly. Excellent. So make sure you understand all those classifications. Because now what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at how much it costs us over 1, 3, 5, and 10 years. And the industry uses it because the Securities and Exchange Commission told them to use it. They want you to use $10,000. Now, I don't know how many people have $10,000 just laying around the house, but most of the people I know and most of my clients don't have it, and I didn't have it when I started investing. You start with $50 or $100 a month, but the Securities and Exchange Commission says you got to use $10,000, so use $10,000. And what happens? Because the A-shares have that upfront fee of 5.75%, this is Fundamental Investors, the very first fund we looked at, you see that the first year, the costs are quite high for the A-shares. The B and the C are much less, and then the F-shares are really cheap. After 3 years, still the A-shares are more expensive, and after 5 years, they're still more expensive, but the B and the C-shares are catching up, aren't they? And then after 10 years, you see, the B and the C shares wind up costing you more than the A shares. And when you're an advisor, when you're a broker, a registered representative, and you sell the B or the C shares, you have to get your clients to initial something saying that they understand that over the long term, they're probably going to pay more with the B and the C shares. You understand? Now, if you're putting $50 or $100 away, folks, after 10 years, the difference is going to be a few dollars. It is not going to be that much. But when you extrapolate over time and you have large sums, the A shares wind up being cheaper. Now, let's read together. although it looks as though the F shares are the best deal, that does not include the advisor's annual fee. Notice it says, excludes advisor's fee. Adding the advisor's typical fee of 1 to 2% could easily add an additional $1,200 to $2,400 to the total cost. So over the long, on top of what you paid for the F shares. So over the long term, who's the best deal? Dear students, if you need the help of an advisor, almost always you're going to pay the fewest number of dollars over the long term if you just go with the A shares. And we haven't even discussed the sales charge breakpoint, the reduction, which we will, don't worry, we will, but we will discuss the reduction in the sales charge in this coming slide. The next slide is the Legg Mason Value Trust. And we see the same situation. The A shares costing us more to begin with, but over time, the C shares wind up costing us more. The no load, which we're not allowed to call them no load anymore. The financial intermediary class, our financial advisor class, seems to be a better deal, but again, you gotta add the $1,200 to $2,400 on top of this. And the institutional one looks great. How do you get them? Well, for starters, are you a large pension fund, a university endowment, or a tax-exempt charity? And oh, by the way, do you have at least $1 million to invest with us? Yeah, we don't get the institutional rate, folks. We're retail investors. Now, let's return on slide 33 to the Vanguard Index Fund. Wow. Look how much less, how many fewer dollars we pay with an index fund. The fees for passively managed index funds will almost always be less than actively managed funds. Here was the Index 500 that we looked at. But Vanguard created an Admiral class. You see, the Vanguard means that's the people who in the boats go out first, and so the Admiral, it's got this nautical thing. Anyway, they started these Admiral class shares, and you had to have at least $100,000 to get that. But then, in 2010, they lowered the Admiral share minimum to 10 grand. So you can get that 0.05 cents, $5 for every, you know, $5 cents for every $100, $5 for every $10,000 you have in the account, if you simply have $10,000 in the account. And we spoke about the exchange-traded funds, remember them? They often have fees lower than the index fund. The Vanguard ETF that tracks the U.S. total U.S. stock market has an expense ratio of 0.05%. Now, why do you need to know this? Well, because you need to understand the different varying amounts that mutual funds charge. An actively managed fund is going to cost more, folks, because it just simply does. If you do it right, if you go out and do the research, it's going to cost you more than an index fund. Index fund had better cost you less because they ain't doing nothing. Now, here's where you are going to look like a genius. Because what's going to happen in a 401k or a 403b is that the brokers in the three-piece suits are going to sneak in an index fund from Nationwide or some other insurance company. Interestingly enough, Nationwide will probably, or whatever insurance company it is, be the third party administrator who is behind the 401k. And that index fund is not going to have 17 cents or 9 cents or 5 cents as their annual operating expenses. It's going to be 70 cents or 80 cents or 90 cents. And that is pure, unadulterated thievery, in my humble opinion. And you might ask, well, who would do that to their clients? I mean, not their clients. Who would do that? Well, anybody, any broker would do that to their clients if they, not any, but a lot of them. Again, I'm going to insult everybody by the end of the semester, so don't worry. many brokers, most brokers I've met, folks, are very, they have a lot of integrity, and they explain up front what it's going to cost, but there are a lot, folks, I apologize. And so, what company, what employer who sponsors this 401k or 403b or whatever it is, a money purchase plan or whatever, who would do that to their employees? Southwestern Community College. Uh-huh. And the folks in HR, when I would point this out, they just didn't understand what I was trying to explain to them. Until finally one of them said, well, maybe I should take your course. I said, maybe you should. And she did. And she went, oh. Oh. And so, you know, this is what you're going to be up against. And so when you're in that room with those three-piece suits standing in front of you, and you, because you understand this, you say, what are you doing with this nationwide 500 index fund at 70 cents for every $100? Why aren't you selling as Vanguard at 17 cents or Fidelity at 9.5 cents or the Admiral class at 5 cents? And they're going to go, oh, no, 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 because they don't want people like you in that meeting. They want to be able to snow the individuals. They want to, I shouldn't use the word snow. They want to bamboozle, not bamboozle. They just don't want them to ask questions. They just don't want them. They know most people don't understand how they're being charged. And when you do that to them, you're going to look like a genius. You understand? You see what I'm doing for you? I want you to look good. And then your coworkers, your friends, your family are going to say, wow, where did you learn that? And what are you going to tell them, right? I wash your back, you wash my back. You're going to tell them, I learned that in business 123 Yanks. Very good, very good. We're all going to prosper and have promotions all around for everybody. Okay, slide 34. This is the contingent, I'm sorry, no, this is the breakpoint sales charge. I'm sorry. Remember I said that the companies that have the Class A shares, the upfront fee, they start you at a certain amount, but that's just the maximum charge. In this case, the fundamental investors started charging you, excuse me, at 5.75%. But as soon as you hit 25,000, whether you purchase that amount or your account just goes over that amount, it goes down to 5. 550%, 4.5. 3.5, 2.5, 2, 1.5, until after $1 million, you have no more sales charge. And you see, they'll still try to get people, even with $1 million, into one of those wrap accounts. I had a client whose family, not him, but his family, he showed me one of these things. Not a client, I'm sorry, a student. $12 million, the family, you know, the very wealthy family, and he's just one member of it. But he didn't understand it, and most of them didn't understand it. They were charging them not quite 2%, but it was like one point something or other. And it was over $1 million. They shouldn't be paying any sales charge. Let's read. Class A shares qualify for a sales reduction if you invest a larger amount as your investment grows. Okay. But in the past, some brokers would fail to inform their clients of this feature. Instead, as the client approaches the breakpoint, the broker would advise them to start another fund. Think about that. Now, I'm saying all kinds of nasty things about brokers, so I'm probably turning you off. But I got to tell you that most all the brokers I've met have been very, very ethical. But this is no longer allowed, folks. If you get caught doing this, you could lose your license. Plus, you have to pay the broker, the client back out of your own money, and you can get fined. So, you understand? The broker wanted to keep that 5.75%. They didn't want them to go over the breakpoint and then have a, oh man, just, oh. Horrible. And I've never met anyone who's done this. And when I first heard about this, I thought, who would do that to their clients? Because it only takes one client to figure out what you're doing, and your reputation should be ruined. You should just leave the industry. Oh, well. Enough. Get off my soapbox. Slide 35. Here's the contingent deferred sales charge. Again, on the fundamental investors mutual fund that we took, the first one we looked at. 5. 4-4-3-2-1 until after 6 years, no more sales charge. Some of them are sooner, some of them, I've never seen anyone that's longer than this one. Or if I have, I don't remember. This type of schedule is very typical in the annuity world. But they don't start at 6% or 5%. They start at 25% or 20%. Yeah. Insurance companies, folks, for everything I say about brokerage firms, just double it or triple it for insurance companies. Contingent deferred sales charge usually starts a whole lot higher than the mutual fund companies.
Oh, I'm exhausted. How about you? Are you tired? Oh my goodness.
So now, dear students, you now know everything you need to know for this class, and pretty much everything you need to know to make informed questions and answers and decisions with regard to fees. I am now going to give you a choice. A, B, C, or D. I'm going to give you $10,000 and go back 10 years. Which one would you choose? Would you choose the fundamental investors class A, because remember the B and the C and the F shares, you're going to pay more anyway, so it makes sense to go with the A shares. And the same thing is true with the Alliance Large Cap Growth Fund. It made more sense to go with the A shares, because every other one you're going to pay more. Now, the class C shares were called the primary class. They didn't have the class A shares 10 years ago with the Legg Mason Value Trust, which, by the way, they've changed the name to ClearBridge. To bury the innocent or the dead, bury the guilty. Or do you want to be abstemious and go with the index 500 from Vanguard? Now, in the face-to-face class, we'd raise our A, B, C's, and D's, and somebody would choose. We want you to choose, because then what I'm going to do is hit the button, and if you print it out, you're not going to be able to see it. I apologize. Bingo! What? Look at that divergence. Now, the Vanguard Index 500 fund will not match the Standard & Poor's 500 index. No index fund will, because you have that little bit of fee that you're taking out. And in some cases, it's a big fee if you go with Nationwide or somebody like that. And so, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get what the Standard & Poor's 500 pays with a little bit less. But the other three funds, remember, they were actively managed. They decided to buy or sell stocks, not by what's on a list, but by what their research told them. And you can do very well, as we did with fundamental investors. Fundamental investors did good, did pretty darn well. In fact, it beat the S&P 500, which is not easy to do, because remember, they have to pay that sales charge, the upfront fee, and you have to pay the annual operating expenses. But in the case of the Alliance Large Cap Growth Fund, they have been doing really well. And remember, this is with that upfront fee. If you didn't have the fee, it would be 8.6% and 9.5% if you had the $1 million to invest and got the net asset value. So instead of 20,000 and a half, our 10,000 would have grown to 21 and a half, or 20, almost 25 in the case of Alliance. But look at Legg Mason Value Trust, now called the ClearBridge Value Trust, now called the Class C Shares, used to be called the Primary Class. Holy mackerel, what happened with them? Now, here's the story. This fund was one of the most famous funds around in the late 90s into the 2000s. And why is that? Because of Bill Miller. Poor Bill Miller. We'll discuss Bill Miller in detail later on, but he ran the Legg Mason Value Trust for many years and beat the Standard & Poor's 500 15 years in a row. Unprecedented. Probably calendar years, though. Some of it was just dumb luck, January to December. But still, I mean, not all of it was dumb luck. He was very, very good. And if you had seen that number in 2006 and 7 before he started to falter, that number was 36,000, 35,000, 37,000. He was gold. Now, can you imagine trying to do your job with everybody listening to you, hanging on every word you say? It ain't easy. And sure enough, it was not easy for poor Bill Miller. And in 2007 and 8, he just cracked. He just did horribly. And they let him stick around to 2012 when he retired. But, oh, my goodness, look at that. 2%. So an actively managed fund could do better than the index, a whole lot better, or it could do a whole lot worse than the index. If you go with an index fund, you're going to get close to, but not quite, the index. And so let's read together. Fees are important, but they certainly do not tell you the whole story. When comparing mutual funds, you must look at many attributes, not the least of which are rates of return, preferably over longer periods of time. And by the way, I like 20, 30, 50-year returns. I like looking at mutual funds that have been around a long time. Okay, so now, go back over these. Make sure you understand them, because I'm going to ask you on the test. But more importantly, you're going to be the subject matter expert. You need to understand this. Slide number 37. Now, in the face-to-face class, we have these ABCD cards, and we ask people to hold them up. At San Diego State, you actually press a button and it shows up on the screen, and we don't have that. So this is checking for comprehension. And this is an example of the kind of problems you'll see on the exam. These are the true false multiple choice questions. And there will also be other questions, but these are the Scantron, if you will. These shares do not have an upfront sales load. No. Instead, they assess a decreasing back-end load if you withdraw the money within 6 years. The annual operating expense is higher, courtesy of the 12B1 fees. So, back-end load, right, Class B shares. And they normally eventually become A shares after 6 or 8 years. Yeah, exactly. Slide number 38. These shares do not have an upfront fee and only a 1% back-end fee if you redeem them with 1 year. The advisor called them no load, but you notice that their annual operating expense is higher than the other share classes. Again, courtesy of the ubiquitous, you like that word, ubiquitous, it means everywhere, 12B1 fees. So no upfront fee, no back-end fee, well, 1% if you take it out within a year, but higher annual operating expenses, broker called them broker no load, right, those are the C shares. They revert to the A shares or the B shares after many years, 10 years or so. And then our last question. Your financial advisor tells you that these shares have no sales fee and a very low annual operating expense. She mumbles something about wealth management. These shares are what? The A, B, C, or the F or I? Right, the F or I shares. She also did her best not to explain to you that her brokerage firm will charge you an extra 2% each year, but you get a bottle of wine on your birthday and... Okay. Oh, so make sure you understand these. Go back over, listen to it, watch it again, write them down, study. In our next presentation, we will try to get our arms, our hands, we'll try to wrap ourselves around the many different types of mutual funds. And that ain't easy either. Oh, well. See you in our next presentation, folks. I am very proud of you. You can do it. You are awesome.